Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, parochial vicar, associate director of the Catholic community. It is the solemnity of the Nativity of the Lord. The readings are from the Christmas Mass of the day.
It was July of 2005. I'd waited for this day for the past 2 years. There were rumors upon rumors about what was going to happen when the day had finally arrived. The day where thousands, if not millions, of people would stampede to get the treasure that they had been waiting for. The podcasts and the message boards were running rampant and ragged, making predictions. People from all stripes and backgrounds were wondering, is this person good or bad? Is anyone going to die? What will be revealed about his past? What does this vague title mean? July 16th, 2005, the day when Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince was released to the public. And I was there. You dare laugh. I was at a midnight release party with a few friends of mine, and we had been debating for months about Professor Snape, the Marauders, the role of Albus Dumbledore, the Ministry of Magic. We even had a conversation about house elves for months. I almost ruined one of our friendships because of these debates. The release of the book was life-consuming. And there we were, at our favorite bookstore, waiting to get our copies of Half-Blood Prince. And there were hundreds of fans there. Some of us dressed up, of course, dressed like wizards, elves. I remember a Snape, a McGonagall, a slew of Gryffindors, of course. Everyone wants to be a Gryffindor. There were tons of us playing Harry Potter Jeopardy, trying out versions of chocolate cauldrons, butterbeer, pumpkin juice. It was the wizarding world of Harry Potter years before we knew that it was going to be built. And I remember the moment my personal copy of Half-Blood Prince reached my hands. It was as though I was touching a celebrity, or dare I say it, was getting blessed by the Holy Father himself. Dare I say it was a quasi-holy moment. I just remember the 2 years of waiting for Half-Blood Prince to come out, that, and the moment it finally arrived, it was all too intense. It was all too real. I remember holding that book with both my hands, this precious, precious thing, the scent of a new book, the crispness of the binding, the tingling, the electricity in the air. At last, the day had finally arrived. For 2,000 years, the Jewish people had been waiting, pondering, contemplating the Word of God. For over 2,000 years, the people of God had pored over God's revelation deep in prayer and contemplation. For such a long time, for centuries upon centuries, God's people had wondered, debated, written, and discussed God's word and how it integrates into their everyday life. The people of God developed a theology, differing schools of thought, writing, pondering, praying over who the Messiah was going to be. The Word of God consumed them. The Word of God was their life. The people of God built an entire culture around this Word of God, around this revelation. God's revelation for them, for the Jewish people, the revelation of God was not some sort of side job. It wasn't something they only did on the Sabbath. It wasn't something they only did on the Day of Atonement or on Passover. No, the Word of God was their life. It took over their life. It is their life. Similar to our friends at this Harry Potter book release, the people of God were completely taken by the Word of God. They talked about it in the streets, over dinner with friends and family. They shared their insights with anyone who was bold enough to ask. They played their games, they quizzed each other, debated with one another, all in order to remember their story. The people of God had their own way of looking at the world, their own life ethic, their own language. They didn't say things like Alohomora or Horcruxes or Ravenclaw, but words like covenant, salvation, the promised land, Messiah, the prophets. The word of God is what they ate, drank, and breathed. As a Christian people, then, we are forced to ask if we are as zealous for the word of God as many our culture is for Harry Potter. Do we ponder the Christian mysteries? Do we meditate upon Scripture? Do we even pray? Do we even pray? Does the mystery of the incarnation penetrate our hearts and minds? When we go for a run, when we work at our desk, when we cook our food, when we sing these Christmas carols, does the mystery we celebrate this day consume us? This is where Harry and Jesus diverge. This is the point where Jesus goes so much farther, so much stronger, so much wider, so much deeper than any word from J.K. Rowling. The mysteries of Harry are revealed. We know which side Snape is on. We know where all the Horcruxes are. We've seen the Chamber of Secrets. Yet, the mysteries of Jesus, these will never fail. These are questions in which will we never see the bottom. The very mystery of what we celebrate today, the very mystery of Christmas, boggles the mind that the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, the Word that inspired creation, the darkest mystery of God seen in a visible reality, becoming a human being, having toes and fingers, getting thirsty, hungry, sad and happy, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, born in a barn, surrounded by hay, farm animals, and faint odors of excrement. Your God, the creator of all things beautiful, now seen as an adorable baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, with toes you can't help but count, fingers the size of breadcrumbs, with eyes as bright as the sun. God, your creator, the person who willed you to being, an hours young baby. This is your God. Mystery of Christmas. And it goes farther. It goes deeper. That this adorable little child, this child with stubbly little fingers, adorable tiny toes, wants a relationship with you. That this baby is impatient for your love. You didn't do anything to deserve this love. You didn't ask for this love. You didn't even know you needed this love. But to love this child, to have this personal, profound, protective love of this little baby born this day, it overflows our deepest desires. And the Word was made flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. This vulnerable baby, born this day, impatient for your love, eager to be held, eager to be loved, gazing at you, wanting you to hold him in your arms. This little baby, this little Jesus, born in some barn, impatient for your love. This is of the central mysteries of our faith, that God made himself vulnerable so that you can love him. the mystery of the incarnation of God. The most precious thing that humanity has ever been given will soon sit upon this altar in just a few moments. And this gift, this mystery, this person is eager, craves, and longs for a deep, passionate relationship with you. Will you consider a relationship with this newborn child? Will you take him inside you and walk away, holding this little one in your heart? Or will you take him in and simply walk away? The choice is yours. This has been a presentation of Catholic Carnal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer, Father Isaiah Mary Milano O.P. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you and Merry Christmas.